This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine with Harriet Ching and myself, Tass.
Jam-packed morning this morning, isn't it?
It certainly is, it certainly is. Our next guest is Anthony Venn Brown, who was once a Pentecostal preacher.
I sure was.
And during his journey of being a Pentecostal preacher, and I suspect also preaching about the negative impacts of sexual diversity, discovered his own sexuality and came out and has written a book all about it. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, Taz.
Now, is that a reasonable summary?
That's a pretty good summary. Chronology, I guess, is important. Mm. In 1971, when I was in Bible college, I was going through exorcisms in Queen Street Assemblies of God in Auckland.
So did you know you were gay back then?
Oh, yes. It was actually my homosexuality that brought me to Christianity because, growing up in the 1960s, homosexuality was a crime and mental health professionals were trying to cure people. It was to have lived in that era, really, you understand the terror and the horror of discovering that you're same-sex attracted, because that doesn't mean you're gay, it means you're a pervert. It means you're a deviant.
Yeah, language was so damaging then. It still is now to a certain extent.
Yes. And even to look at the dictionary, when I was going through school, I looked up homosexual. I remember seeing it was deviant, pervert, and homosexuality was a perversion. So, I was desperate to change, and I knew two things. One, that I should keep it a secret, and second, I should do everything I could to try and change it. So during my final year at high school, I got very depressed. I attempted suicide. I went to a psychiatrist, and he thought I was going through a bit of a phase. I just needed to love my father more. But then I turned to God.
So you used faith as a way to actually push away your sexuality or deny your sexuality.
Well, I thought, if anything can change this, it will be God.
Because you felt that there was something about you that was wrong.
Oh, totally, yeah. This has to be changed, and I need a miracle, and I need divine help. And so that took me into that journey, and I was one of the first in the world to actually go through a religious gay conversion therapy program.
And so, look, just briefly, what did that involve?
Well, you've referred to it as an exorcism. That's extraordinary language there.
What did
that feel like for you?
Well, the exorcism was different from the rehab, but it was in that time at the beginning of the charismatic movement that exorcisms were something which were practiced a lot, and of course, seeing homosexuality as being evil, a demonic force, that was part of it. But in the rehab type situation, it was very much that I was, I had to dress a certain way, I had to do masculine tasks, lots of Bible reading and prayer, virtually to try and put you in a really environment where you'll never get tempted. Or never fall, in inverted commas. Then you get your strength back, and they believe that naturally your heterosexuality would start to come forward.
Even the fact that it's called rehabilitation, as though you need to be rehabilitated as a fallen person, is extraordinary. Again, that must have been so enormously challenging. Did you find your mind getting into that mindset over time?
Totally. And, I ended up getting married. I left the program after about 6 months because it was very abusive. and oppressive. And then a couple of years later, then I met a lovely woman, and I thought, this is it. This is this is going to be God's answer.
You've cracked the straight manual codes after all. Yeah.
And so were you, I mean, so you were sexually attracted, and you had, and you found, and you fell in love with her, and all the usual things that you do?
No.
Right.
There's the common thing in this situation. I work with a lot of people, you know, who are gay in heterosexual marriages, is that, you know, we develop a lovely friendship and companionship with our partner, and huge respect. And for me, being in the ministry, you know, you needed someone there who was going to support you,
and ally. Like,
was there, and we had 16 wonderful years. That's why I still wear my wedding ring.
Right.
Because that was 16 wonderful
years. It's part of who you are.
And I would never take that off, because that would be, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right for me. And I've got two beautiful girls and grandkids and, you know.
But how did you feel about yourself and who you are? I mean, obviously you didn't have a connection that went beyond friendship with your wife, and that support and that companionship in the sense that you were in love with her. How did you feel about yourself during that time?
I might just add that I think that what happens for a lot of us is that we, I was in love with the idea of being married and being normal and being a husband and father.
And being not wrong.
So being heterosexual for you meant being normal.
Yes. So, and you know, there's this phrase that I've coined called situational heterosexuality.
Yes.
And so most of us...
That sounds creative.
It is, yeah. If you Google that, you'll find my article will be number one on the internet, because in the situation we can perform heterosexuality, but our orientation hasn't changed.
I completely relate to that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I get that.
I
get
so many
that.
Of us have lived
that.
Like that. Yeah.
It's a good term, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm clever.
No, I think that's brilliant.
It's creative. It definitely is creative.
Thanks, Jazz.
So you went through this journey, and then you somehow, well, not somehow, you worked towards then becoming a community leader within your church.
I was a very high-profile preacher. So in the 80s, if you were in a Pentecostal church, you would know who Anthony Van Brown was. Or you would have known him as Tony Van Brown then. Mm. And so, you know, I used to preach at all the big mega churches, you know, such as Hillsong and, you know, all over Australia. You know, I was preaching to sometimes, you know, 5,000 people at once.
And did you preach about anti-gay stuff?
You know, that's interesting. I never got into it because, you know, whereas others who are suppressing their sexuality become very anti-gay,
yes.
I did, and I was an evangelist, and I think I was always trying to reach out to people, not to condemn them, but to reach out to them and try to bring them to Jesus, and I knew that that didn't happen by going, you're all sinners and going to go to hell.
But were you working with people who were same-sex attracted and trying to bring them to the church and to being able to live a straight life at the same time as being on your feet in the church talking about the importance of these things?
I purposely kept it as quiet as possible about my past. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be known as a former homosexual, because I knew I wasn't. You know, I was still doing beats.
Yeah.
So you were still sexually active while you were married and while you were a preacher.
So in A Life of Unlearning...
This is your book, we just need to mention that.
You refer to a chance meeting, that's right, which changed everything.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, look, I might get a bit emotional. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
We're used to it here. Okay. There have been a lot of tears in this studio.
My life had been very much sexual encounter of 30 seconds, 60 seconds, you know, never any tenderness, never any warmth or affection, or wouldn't even exchange names. And then what would happen is, you know, then afterwards I'd hate myself. I promised God it would never happen again.
A familiar cycle for so many people.
Just went on and on. And this one night, I met this guy, and I called him Jason in the book. And something happened because I had a motel room, and he came back. And he did something to me which was way beyond the physical.
And it touched your heart.
It touched my heart. So it touched my soul, my inner self. And I was in an ecstatic state. And I remember at the end, he gave me his telephone number. He says, I'd like to see you again if you're in Brisbane. And I said, sorry, I never see a person a second time, you know, which, of course, that was dangerous. But instead of throwing the telephone number away, I kept it. And all weekend, I couldn't stop thinking about him because I had been changed by that intimate encounter, which, as I say, it was way beyond the physical. It was spiritual. It was emotional.
So that was a turning point for you.
Yeah.
And was that the start of acceptance? Was there a turning point there around you perhaps accepting who you are?
I opened a door, which, of course, people in the conservative world would say, well, of course you opened the door and that, you know, you gave in to your homosexuality. But I opened the door to honesty and to truth. And in doing that, I was forced to face the reality. For 22 years, I prayed every day. I've been through programs, exorcisms. I've been married for 16 years. And now I'm in love with a man. Like, this has never worked. When are you going to face reality? And it was, if there was any hope of change, I probably would have kept on going. But I was forced to face the truth.
While you still hating yourself over and over and over because of perhaps what you'd been through.
Yeah. And what I felt was, if I just have to accept this. This is a reluctant acceptance. Wasn't a wonderful empowering. I'm coming out. Mm. It's like, oh God, what else could I do? You know, I have to give up. I still had this subconscious belief that I would go to hell.
Anthony, earlier on today, we had the Minister for Equality, Martin Foley, in the studio, who talked about an announcement that the Victorian government made here last week about banning conversion therapy in Victoria. What's your reflection on that? Well, how do you feel about that?
Well, look, I think it's wonderful. I've been in this game since 2000. I had a Yahoo group, which some people remember what those were.
Yahoo? We've moved beyond that.
right next to your MySpace page.
So I had a group of 400... we called them ex-gay survivors in those days, ex-gay survivors, people which had been through programs. Mm. I had 400 people in that group. So that's back in 2000. And since then, you know, I've just worked in this space. But so, you know, to see the current heightened awareness around this is unbelievable.
And how do you go with the shades of self-loathing that continue for anyone who has been exposed to that idea or that conditioning that who they are is wrong because God says so? Are there echoes of that now, or are you able to move beyond that in the way that you live your life?
I'm pretty good. I love being me.
That's wonderful.
I love
wonderful.
My tribe.
That is a great answer, Anthony.
What a fantastic answer.
And Anthony, thank you so much for coming into the studio.
Thank you for
sharing your story. You are a living example of somebody who's come out of the other side of this conversion therapy process, which, as we know, does not work.
Yeah.
The evidence is very clear. You can read about it in your book, A Life of Unlearning.
Yeah.
So available in many good bookshops, I presume. It's a third edition.
15-year anniversary this year.
There you go.
And
finally,
what would you say to anyone who's in the same situation that you were in now if they were face-to-face with you?
That's a great question to finish off on, Harriet.
Harriet, I'd say read.
Read.
Educate yourself, and you are okay. God loves you as you are.
That's a great note to finish up on. Thank you very much, Anthony, for coming into the studio.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.